overflowing with love. I am overflowing with happiness. I am filled with the power to make a change, to create a brand new life. I am.
Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration from the Center of Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
So we invite the bell. It takes us to that still place within our being. And we watch the pattern on the energy of stillness, the energy of peace. And we recognize that below the surface of the mind, which is often turbulent and chaotic, like the waves on the ocean, if we allow our attention to descend from the surface of the mind into the depths of beingness itself, we discover that there is a vastness within ourself, a spaciousness. And that at this stage of our evolution, we get to fall in love with the vastness of our beingness. An awareness that is not bound by thought. An awareness that precedes all thought. And so when the surface level of the mind wants to have a narrative, have an opinion, have a judgment, have a concern, that's all existing at the surface of the mind. But at that deep place that we have touched, largely due to the sound of a bell, we can rest and discover the simplicity of our true nature. My Zen calendar this morning said meditation in truth is the art of simplicity. Simply sitting, simply breathing, simply being. And so we discover that we are sitting in a chair in this beautiful space, this sacred space, that we are breathing consciously. But in truth, the breath is really breathing us. And breath is another word for spirit. And so we begin to see things differently. We look below the idea of breath, and we discover there is a life force that exists within every breath. And without the breath, we would not be here on the planet in form. And so the breath becomes sacred simply by not thinking about it, but by allowing it to become conscious in our being. And so as the breath takes an inhalation, as it's bound to do, we get to observe how deep that inhalation is. And then with every exhalation, we get to surrender whatever it is that needs to be surrendered. Maybe it is a concern that we've been carrying around like a burden. Maybe it is a judgment that seems overwhelming at times. Whatever it is, the exhalation can be the perfect outlet for a letting go. And if letting go seems too harsh, you can just let it be a letting be. So yes, there is concerns about this variant. There are concerns about what is the new normal. There are concerns about the government and voting rights, and you could go on and on and on, as they say. But with the simple sound of the bell, we can return to sanity. We can return to emptiness. We can just be. Just be in the holy instant of now. And discover how much freedom there is there. In the month of August, this month, we're going to explore our walk in the world. How we navigate in this world that is so sacred all around us. And when we see it with different eyes, not as a commodity to be taken advantage of, but as a holy ground. Thich Nhat Hanh says the miracle isn't to walk on water, as they reputed Jesus to have done. The miracle isn't to walk on fire, which you hear so many people doing fire walks. He says the true miracle is to walk on this planet, where every step is a sacred love affair and a recognition that right where you step is holy ground. That's a different way of seeing things. A young lady came to the center this morning wearing a t-shirt that said, "Our state parks are a place for lovers." And I smiled, because every time I go to a park, I feel that I'm stepping into an environment of love, of respect, of ancient trees and birds, where nature is held in such an embrace, not a commodity to be developed, but a beautiful sanctuary to be recognized. So with the sound of the bell, we've come home. I hear that beautiful admonition from the Bible that says, "Be still and know that I am God." It is in the stillness that we know the I am, that is God, that we are. I am is the most powerful sentence you can ever use. What you put after the am is so crucial. I am awake, or I am lost. The word is in your mouth, a blessing or a curse, according to how you use it. And so I invite you to take that beautiful seed of potential and possibility that is you, and begin to use the phrase I am in a nurturing, loving, co-creative way with the universe. I am the possibility of love unfolding in this world. And then feel into that. I am the potential of grace revealed in every sacred moment. Feel into that. I am hope awakening in the heart and mind of humanity. I am nothing. And I am everything at the same time. I am receiving and transmitting this life force that is what we all are. And we come into this sacred space to allow it to be revealed, expressed, and celebrated. Let your attention move now back up into your mind, to your head. Let your eyes open. Notice how your mind feels. It's quiet, isn't it? You don't have little Chatty Cathy going on in your head, do you, right now? My sister had a Chatty Cathy doll. Remember those, Barbara? You pull the string, she'd talk. And I thought, don't pull the string. Chatty Cathy is so much better when she just sits on the pillow and she doesn't say a word. The same is true for our mind. So could we have a relationship first with the quietness of our own mind and then the quietness of another? Baba Jake has a little dog named Maisie. And I'm telling you, Maisie doesn't think a lot of thoughts.
She's hanging out in that space that dogs hang out in. And when she sees chaos all around her, she doesn't like it. Because there's a basic law of the universe that says order is the first law of the universe. And you know, if you have an animal and the suitcases come out and the whole place is in chaos, the animal's not going to like it. I'm still living with the after effects of my beloved Bert's transition. And today is the month anniversary of him leaving his body. He left on July 8th. This is August 8th. And it was just about, Jody called me that morning and said he had a terrible night breathing. And she put the phone to his ear and she said he lifted his head up as I told him that he's always going to be there with me and I'll be there with him. And you know, I still feel him. I feel like I'm crazy even talking about it, but maybe because this is the anniversary. And what Bert has been such a great teacher for me is that he reminded me that we're spiritual beings. My prayer partner in Canada, he's a retired minister, and he's doing funerals like nobody's business. I don't know what's going on. And the woman that he has to do the funeral for today, she felt that she was barren in the 60s. And when Pope Paul came to Canada, she went to see him. And she prayed that she would be allowed to have a child. And wouldn't you know it, she got pregnant. She bought these rosary beads at the event. She considered them blessed by the Pope. And she made her transition, and he said her daughter was there, and she said, my mother's greatest wish that she would be buried with those rosary beads. But as far as we look, we can't find the beads. So my prayer partner said, he was a monk before he left the monkdom. He said, well, you know, I have a set of rosary beads that were blessed by the Pope, and I would be honored to let your mother hold those beads. So he said, we had the showing last night, and she's lying in the coffin with the prayer beads that have been blessed by the Pope. And he said, I knew you'd like that story. And then he said, you know, in all these funerals, he said, I tend to talk about science, because science says energy cannot be created or destroyed. And if you know what we are is a system of energy, that we're spiritual beings, well, that spirit was never born and never dies. And so it's, yes, I can see Paul, but I can really see Bert. And so what if when you get older, we have this capacity. And it was the Buddha himself that said, we don't learn by experience, Chris, but we learn by our capacity to experience, by our capacity to see those patterns. And so when life shows you these different patterns, could we have the capacity to be teachable? And that requires a beginner's mind and a beginner's heart. And so as I explore this idea of how we walk in the world, it's not that there's one way to walk in the world or another way. I would say walk in the world as if every step is sacred. Beloved Sylvia O'Neill, she has an old lawnmower that has been a treasured thing, but her son gave her a new one. And so now she has the new lawnmower and the old lawnmower. It doesn't diminish the old lawnmower. The old lawnmower is still a relic that she, my neighbor across the street found out that I was the minister here. And a guy named Tom Maples, who did that magazine that we used to advertise in, I can't remember the name of it. Natural Awakenings. So he said, you know, my neighbor, this David Leonard, lives across the street. And he says, you know what he said about you, David? I said, I'm not sure I want to know what he said about me. He said, you're a legend. That's what he said, you're a legend. And I told Trey, I said, he called me a legend. And Trey said, that's what they call you right before you die. I said, Trey, you know, too much. So what if the beauty of life is that we do get to evolve? We do get to discover what it is in our heart of hearts that we truly believe in, the way we want to walk in the world. We do get to, as I spoke last Sunday, learn to live in meaning. And the soul wants meaning, whereas the ego wants goals and ambitions and desires and more. The soul doesn't want that. Soul can be content with an old lawnmower, you know, that's an old friend. And it doesn't need brand new fancy car. We have an old 1986 truck that Trey and I drive. It's the first new vehicle that we ever bought. Her name is Betty White, and she's just like this dear friend. People say, you going to sell the truck? And he said, no. The truck's like, you know, she's like family. And if you want to borrow her, she doesn't have power steering. She has the old windows that you crank down. But she's such a good girl. She's like a loyal friend. And she gives meaning to our life. Every year we get to get the Christmas tree in the old truck, you know? So it's about living with meaning and how we find that meaning. is up to you and me. Then it's about living in truth. And the truth is not what we were taught. You know, young Finn was raised in the Jewish Baptist tradition. You talk about schizophrenia. I don't know how you balance both of those balls. And so when you realize that they didn't teach us the truth, they lied to us. And the first lie they did was they said you were born in sin. And you know, you're not born in sin. You're born as a perfect expression of the one life. So when you find the truth, or when the truth finds you, oftentimes it makes you upset. We're teaching the Ajahshanti class, and he starts off the very first chapter about the human dilemma. And he says, we're in this human dilemma because as children, we were raised in families. And he said, when I was a little boy, I realized there was all this arguing going on because the parents, dad would have one belief, mom would have another belief. And he said, they're insane. They're crazy. Their thoughts are crazy. And as a little boy, I realized they actually believe their thoughts. It's not that one was right and one was wrong. They were tormented by their thoughts. So then Aja, that's a truth moment coming as a little boy. And so he says now as an adult spiritual teacher, I can't afford to believe my thoughts because thoughts arise from the ego. So once we let go of thought as the operating system from which we operate, well, where do we operate from then? There's that deeper question underneath faith. We operate then from an awareness, from an innate knowing. And oftentimes this innate knowing comes from a not knowing up here. And when we can admit we don't know, then we're teachable. And then we have the beginner's mind and the beginner's heart. So Ajahshanti quotes the Gospel of Thomas. If you want to read some Christianity, read the Gospel of Thomas because all the Christian churches condemn it. They are the sayings of the teacher. They're called logians. And there's no hearsay about his life, about a virgin birth, about a resurrection. No, it's just the sayings. They're called Logian 1, I think through Logian 200. And the first Logian, this is according to Jesus himself, he said, in all your seeking, he says, seek until you find. And he says, and when you find, you'll be greatly disturbed. And when you are greatly disturbed, you'll be filled with awe. And when you are filled with awe, you will have dominion over your world. Let those who have ears to hear, hear. That's looking deeper, faith. So in all your seeking, he says, stop the seeking really and start finding. Start finding a truth that feels right for you. Start finding an awareness, like Aja did as a little boy. People are crazy because they believe their thoughts. And their thoughts are just a compilation of beliefs and ideas and judgments. And don't they realize they're suffering because of those judgments? So that was his truth awakening. So when you find, he says in the Logian, you'll be greatly disturbed. You're disturbed because this doesn't feel right. This disturbance means that I maybe have to change. I maybe have to leave the Baptist church, little Terry girl. I may have to leave the religion that condemns me and says I'm an abomination in God's eyes of a young gay man. So yes, it's greatly disturbing because the truth sets you free. But first, oftentimes, my teacher would say, pisses you off. You mean they lied to me? Yeah, they lied. Santa Claus doesn't really exist. Oh, well, I believed in Santa Claus just like I believed in the old guy in the sky. Well, there you go. I remember when I first came to Alabama, they said, the opening to hell is somewhere down there south of Arab. You know, it's a fun thought to think about, you know. So you're greatly disturbed, then you're filled with awe. Oh my God, the truth was there waiting for me, and it awakens when it's ready to awaken. So if you came like Gabe did to this center, and he came back a second time, it's because he heard a truth in here that was awakening within him. If the truth doesn't resonate with you, then you leave. And you know, my teacher said some people bless us by coming and some bless us by going. Not everybody wants to hear the truth. In fact, I would say most people don't want to hear the truth. They would rather stay in their comfort zone of their belief systems. You know, and Anne-Marie likes when I quote Shakespeare, he says, so we'd rather bear those ills we have than fly to others we know not of. And thus our conscience doth make cowards of us all. And the native hue of resolution to grow and evolve and transform is sicklied o'er by the pale cast of thought, and enterprises of great pitch and motion to evolve and grow and expand are sicklied o'er by the pale cast of thought. And we don't act, we don't move, we don't grow, we don't change, we don't evolve. We stay where we are. So this month I'm exploring the Book of the Soul, which is 52 paths of living an awakened life by this poet named Mark Nepo, who is a nice Jewish boy who had an abusive upbringing from his parents. And through the grace of that, he learned the depths of forgiveness. And so what might appear to be a less than perfect life was exactly what his soul required for his unfoldment. That's looking at it in a different way, faith. Twice he nearly died from cancer. But having survived cancer, he came back with such a different take, finding the grace even in that journey through cancer, through being on the threshold of life and death. And so early in the book, he talks about being wholehearted. And you know, so much of what I teach is about from moving into your head and your heart. The head is duplicitous. It thinks of right and wrong, good and bad, yes or no. But the heart knows oneness. The heart can feel compassion for a worm, a butterfly, and take it into the house when the bird's tearing the worm apart and say, you know, what you do to the worm, you do to me. Lady Jean, she's bringing the caterpillars into her house to help them survive. That's because she's connected in this sense of belonging where we all are one. You know, this is the emperor penguin over here that Barbara brought up to me. Trey says they're near extinction, Barbara, because of global warming. And so, you know, that touches my heart. Is there something that I could do to help these penguins survive? I don't know. Maybe get an electric car, I'm thinking. So Mark Nepo talks about being wholehearted, and this is what he says. Just like a bird who cannot glide on the wind unless her wings are spread, being wholehearted is the only way to be lifted by the mystical web of life. You got to be wholehearted if you want to soar like the eagle. Wholehearted. He said this. He says, fall in love with being an ever deepening mystery to yourself. And then you're rediscovering how vast you are, and you know yourself as the space in which it all exists. To know yourself as the space. So you're not the content, you're the context. You're not the cloud in the sky, all you beautiful little fluffy clouds. You're really the sky. You're the beingness. You're the awareness out of which thought arises. It's a whole different way of seeing. And he talks about this is the necessity, is to shift into this wholehearted perception. Wholehearted, not half-hearted. So he goes on to explain it. This requires all of who you are to access. All of me. Could we access all of me? All of thee, all of that, all of we. Remember the Buddha, it's not the experience that teaches you, but it's your capacity to have these experiences. So what is your capacity? How thirsty can you be for truth? Rumi says, don't want to be quenched. He says, stay thirsty, stay curious, stay teachable, stay open to this vastness. Wow. Then you don't even, Jesus would say, I of myself think nothing. It's the Father within that does the thinking, that does the work. This vastness. We don't have to explore this very far to realize that being wholehearted or half-hearted affects both us as an individual soul, and it affects us as our life in the community. And so the work of being human is to be an all-embracing, to bring our entire self to whatever we're given. You're not going to be happy when you get what you want. You're going to be happy when you love what you have. So could we find that contentment in whatever is? You know, even though it might be uncomfortable, it's the life that we've been given, and it's how we do the growth. So he's saying this is a call to a greater order of being. And he says the work of remaining wholehearted depends on an honest acceptance of all of our gifts and all of our feelings. Next week, I'm going to explore the idea of what it is that we are here to bring forth from within. So could we know that being wholehearted, we have to discover what are the gifts that you bring? My friend Helen Street said, you know, everybody, she said, you know what your gifts are? It's usually what people complain about you the most. She said, people used to say, Helen, you talk too much. She says, now I get paid for talking. They have a sense of humor. So what are the gifts that you bring? And he says, difficult as this may be, we can only access our compassion when we are whole. And as Ernest Holmes says, that it's the perception of wholeness that's all healing. So when I say whole, it doesn't mean I have to be perfect, that I have to be positive versus negative. If I'm going to be a whole being, Gabe, I've got to embrace the negative and the positive. I've got to embrace the contraction and the expansion. I've got to embrace the fear and the love if I would be whole. Rumi said this being human is like a guest house, and come knocking at the door of your consciousness are your worries, your fears, your judgments, your anxiety. And he says, invite them all in. You know, Jake's going to Wyoming, and he's going to carry his whole sub-personality kit with him. There's going to be little fearful Jake and confused Jake and anxious Jake, and impatient Jake, and yet there's visionary Jake and wise Jake and excited Jake and compassionate Jake. They're all going to be a part of this whole journey for him. So he said, when spacious enough to be at home for full humanity, two treasures will arise up within us. I love it when they give little pearls like that. The first treasure is we're allowed to experience the full miracle of life. Life is a miracle, you know, to embrace that. And don't think too much about it, but feel into the miracle of life. You know how rare it is that you are here on the planet? This is a Buddhist saying. It's as rare for a blind turtle in the Pacific Ocean, deep in the waters, to surface and find the only life preserver and put her head through that preserver. That's how rare it is that you are being. So couldn't we approach this life that we've been given as a miracle and then want to bring the best of ourselves to the world in service to the one and a service to the many as the one, because there's only one here. It was Nisargadatta, and you know the truth unhides itself. Nisargadatta said, when you know that you're nobody, wisdom awakens within yourself. Meaning nobody, you're nobody special, you're nobody other. There's only one here, one life, and we're all that life. It's like the big quantum organism of life. And then he says, and when you know that you're everybody and everything, then the miracle of love awakens. So the second big treasure, he says, second, we're allowed to experience the full miracle of love. Wow. You can spend your whole life pondering love. I had a sadguru that says what most of you in the Western world call love is attachment. And he said, love doesn't possess, love doesn't bind, love sets you free. So could we experience the miracle of love? First, the love of the universe within ourselves. God so loved the world that it took up residence within each one of you. You have to be so humble to allow that, whatever that is, to flower within your being. You know, I remember when I was 25 years old and I'm in San Francisco and my life had fallen apart. I was having my midlife crisis because I didn't have a clue who I was. And my soul was alive, though. My soul would not do what the world wanted me to do. And I'm watching the musical, A Chorus Line, and I'm sitting way up in the balcony. And Donna McKechnie is a tiny little dancer on the stage down there. And she sings, God, I'm a dancer, and a dancer dances. Give me somebody to dance for. Give me some place to fit in. All I ever needed was the music and the mirrors and the chance to dance for you. And in that holy instant, something awoke within me. I went back to graduate school in dance, not to be a dancer, but to awaken the creative something within me that took me to this path as the minister. So what if it all started with just a call from within to discover this something, and we get to hear it when we hear it, or not? We can stay programmed by the world and do what the world thinks, but then after a while, the soul will start to say, I've got to be free, you know? And so that's the invitation. Lastly, he goes on to say this beautiful thing. Oh, Anne-Marie will like this. This commitment to wholeness works on a societal level as well as a personal level. And the wholehearted community is one that doesn't deny its flaws or its shortcomings, but works toward an honest acceptance of both its strengths and its failed attempts in living up to its values. And when a community is spacious enough, like I hope ours is here, to be a home for all of its citizens, the frail, the stubborn alike, the healthy society emerges. And then we embrace what Carl Jung calls the shadow. You cannot be whole if you deny that part of yourself that you've exiled. So the first thing that happens in awakening is you have to invite those exiled parts of yourself. You know, the one that was not enough, and affirm that you've always been enough. The one that is fearful, say it's okay to be afraid. We were raised with fear. We have this fight or flight part of our brain. So when fear arises, could we embrace the fear? When judgment arises, could we see through the judgment and underneath it faith, that the judgment is just from a pattern of belief, an energy pattern, but we're seeing through that pattern now because something has awakened. So he's saying, until the shadow, and he quotes Carl Jung copiously, until the shadow is embraced, what we tend to do is we tend to project our own unhealed stuff out onto the world out there. And that's why Jesus in his wisdom said, love the enemy and do good to those that harm you, because he recognized so much of what we do is projected out there. They're the problem. They're the one that needs to be changed. And it's not that way. It's our perception of them that is creating the problem within us. And so he says, in order to be wholehearted, you've got to embrace the all of us. Now, is that too big an order? last week I was sharing you Jean Houston's book, The Mystical Dogs That I've Known, and I was going to tell you she has the 8 steps to awakening in an enlightened path, and I think I only stopped at stage 2. But the first one is there's something awakens within you. Then the second phase is there's a purification. That's where we get to embrace the unhealed parts of ourself. You know, Baba Jake is going off this week, and I said, is there any resolution that you need to do? Because before you leave something, you need to leave it in gratitude, in thanks. You don't need to leave untied things. Because if you leave untied things, and ultimately you're going to have to go back and face those and heal those. So that's that purification stage. Then the next stage is a stage of transcendent awakening, where you begin to see God in everything. Now, isn't it kind of nice to know that there are these stages that we get to anticipate? Ultimately, we realize that there's only one here, and there's nothing, there's no other. There is no they. It's all you. Wow, then the penguin can sit right up here next to me, and I'm no greater, no lesser than a penguin. How humble is that, and how glorified is that? It says in the 8th Psalm in the Bible, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast created him a little lower than the angels, and hath crowned him with honor and glory. And so when I read something like that, it says, we are here, as humble as it may sound, to glorify and honor this one life that we've all been given. You know, the sacredness of this life. And then let that flower within the body of our experience, whatever that might look like. There's a young man, his name is Jeff Foster, and he's been a teacher of mine for quite a while. He had a very traumatic upbringing. He was severely depressed. He had so much shadow. I mean, you're talking shadow on steroids. And so then he writes a book called Falling in Love with Where You Are. Even if where you are is hell, you get to fall in love with who you are, even if who you are is lost. And he's such a beautiful synthesizer of living a wholehearted life where we don't run away from that stuff anymore, we embrace it. So here's a living example of someone who's walking the talk. I have my little Zen calendar in here that says, whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you'd chosen it, and always work with it and not against it. This is the moment the Lord has given you. Rejoice and be glad in it, as uncomfortable as it may be. You know, when Bert made his transition a month ago today, he was really, Jody said it so beautifully, his body let him down at the end. You know, he fought so valiantly. And any of us who are older know how, you know, your body doesn't, near the end, he was 100 and some years old in human life. And he used to be able to hold his bladder all night long, but around 2 in the morning, he just couldn't hold it anymore. And then I realized, you know, I get up in the middle of the night and pee. Well, can I go downstairs and take him out and he can pee? And then, you know, Bert solved this problem. He had to pee in the middle of the night, and 2 o'clock is perfectly fine. I get the flashlights out. We walk around the garden. Well, you know, if you gotta go, I gotta go. I said, I know, Bert. It was really thoughtless that I thought you should have to hold it all night long. So you learn to accept, he says, these moments and don't work against them. So here's what he says, Jeff Foster. Nothing is waiting. Today is not some insignificant stepping stone toward a glorified future performance on the stage of life. This moment is not life waiting to happen, goals waiting to be achieved, words waiting to be spoken, connections waiting to be made, and regrets waiting to evaporate. He said, aliveness waiting to be felt, enlightenment waiting to be gained. No, not at all. Nothing is waiting for you at all. He says, this is it. This moment is the life that you've been given right now. Doesn't get any better than this. Not really life, not almost life, not conceptual life that's learned through repetition, but raw life, living itself, exploding in its fullness, radically present, dripping from every nook and cranny, bursting forth in motion and in rest. It's life, life, life. And it's yours to be tasted now, now. Now, he says, life is no trailer, no preview, no coming attraction. What you long for has already arrived, and it announces itself in every sensation, every thought, every image, every moment of pain, every moment of boredom, or every moment of bliss. It's there even in the longing for it. That's how intimate this something is. You stand on holy ground, my brothers and sisters, right now. Your birthplace, your resting place, your womb, and your tomb. The show has already begun, and the spotlight is illuminating all that is. So there's no time for one day when you'll truly find aliveness. Today is the only day you'll ever truly live, if you are to live another day. Huh. I remember when I was in high school, I saw the play Our Town by Thornton Wilder. And it's the story of Emily. And Emily dies. She's a young woman. She makes her transition. And in that beautiful play, she's an angel. And she comes back to see her family on Grover's Corners. And the family are sitting around in the kitchen. They're eating at the table. And she's an angel. And she says, how can they not see how sacred their life is? How precious every moment is? She saw her mother at the stove cooking. She saw her father getting ready to go to work. She saw her brothers and sisters. And maybe because she was an angel, she says, can't they see how beautiful this life is that they're living? They're still caught up in their plans and in their judgments and in their concerns for the world out there, but they haven't stopped long enough to experience that open-hearted awareness that this is enough. So Jeff is saying, fall in love with everything that life brings you. And little tiny bit more, Jeff, because he kind of speaks to my soul. Okay, oops, poked myself in the eye. I don't want to hear what you believe. I'm not at all interested in your certainties. I couldn't care less about your unexcelled perfection. Share with me your doubts and open to me your tender heart. And let me into your struggles, because they're sacred. And I'll meet you in that place where your spiritual conclusions are starting to crack apart and fall away. That's where the creativity lies. That's where the newness shines. That's where we can truly meet behind the image that we've created for the world. Meet in that real place. He says, your imperfections are so perfect to me in this light. And I don't want you to be perfect. I want you to be real. Could we be real with one another? Yeah, so I've got this out for Gigi because this is a little boy who died, I think, at age 12. His name is Matty Stepanek. And he had muscular dystrophy, and his siblings all had it. And he watched his siblings die. And in that grace of that experience, he began to discover what doesn't die. And what he called it was his heart song. And he says, so many of the world get caught up in their plans, in their thoughts, in their concepts, in their goals, but they don't access this heart song that is always speaking from within. So you speak of somebody who is wholehearted and who's being wholehearted, this little boy. He wrote A Journey Through the Heart Songs by Matty Stepanek. And it you can't read it without getting a tear or two in your eyes. But I just wanted to give you a little taste of his wholehearted awareness, and then I'll go into a closing meditation. And Bubba Jake will man the bell. He says, I wish, this is 11-year-old, I wish that people who have anger and hatred and sadness will remember also their heart song within. And it'll get them back. Everyone is born with a heart song, he said. But as we grow up, he learned at 11, sometimes we forget about that heart song because we don't listen to it enough. And then there are people of war. Well, they really need to get back their heart songs. They really need to live because when we die, they are what rise up. I want that to happen to me. I want my heart song to rise up. And I'm trying my best down here on earth. You really can go to heaven, he says, while you're here. Everyone can. But sometimes you have to sit in think time. That's his meditation. When you lose your heart song, just be still, go within, start to consciously breathe, and discover there's a heart song within, he's saying. And that is sad because some people who go and sit in think time, will they never come back? And some people just think and realize, and then they come back. But if we remember to listen to this heart song within ourselves, we will not need to go to think time. Our songs will just rise out of our own hearts and take our spirits straight to heaven. And I will remember to listen to my heart song, and I'm going to remind all of you, especially you grown-ups, to listen to your heart song too. And for the people who have forgotten theirs, well, I'm going to share mine with them. And maybe they will meet mine, Chris, and maybe they won't. And maybe it will remind them of their own. But what really matters is that we keep the faces of faith and we listen to our heart song and we live so that we can die and we can live again. so that we can die and we can live again. Maddie died a year later, and he still lives because he lives in the heart song. So I'm going to invite Jake to take us in with the bell. Sacred geometry, they have certain numbers that are sacred, and three we know is the of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They all exist simultaneously. The Father would be Brahman, this all-inclusive presence. The Son would be the creation, you and me. And the Holy Spirit is the energy through which it expresses and reveals itself. And so Jesus said in the Gospel of Thomas, he says, you can kill the Father, and you can kill the Son, and you will be fine. But if you kill the Holy Spirit, ye shall perish. Let those who have ears to hear, hear. And so the Father, the Brahman, is the all that is. The creation, you and I, are impermanent by our very nature, and yet we're eternal beings. And the Holy Spirit is the juice. It's the expression. It's the breath within the breath. It's the life force. It's what lives and never dies. And so as we come here to experience that, our heart song begins to awaken. It was Paramahansa Yogananda that used to chant in his ashram, listen, listen, listen to your heart song. Listen, listen, listen to your heart song. It will never forsake you. It will never leave you. It will never forsake you. It will never leave you. Listen, listen, listen to your heart song. And as Maddie Stepanek said in this little book, as a little boy, I asked my mom, will God take my hand? Will it be his right hand or will it be his left hand? And his mother said, it will be both. And so Maddie was reflecting on being held by this presence. And then he reflected on this presence as being the wind that's everywhere around me and moving through me. And so in his heart song, he awoke to something so vast that includes all and excludes none. And he recognized that he is that. And he was to bring forth his gifts of his own heart song, even though his life might be short on this earth. And his message was one of peace. His message was one of hope. His message is one of love. And so we rest in that vibration today. The vibration of the one life. Unveiling herself with every breath. Not a future life that will happen someday, but a life that is alive and fully revealed in this breath, in this instant. And we say yes to it, 1,000 times yes. And then, as the Bible says, we wait upon the Lord. We wait upon this law of the universe, this impeccable law that says, as you sow, so shall you reap. And so then we ask the question, what am I sowing in the soil of this eternal consciousness? Am I sowing ideas of compassion, ideas of oneness, ideas of freedom? Ideas of eternal peace. And then we smile as we listen even more deeply. Stillness is the language of God. Everything else is a poor translation. And so we rest as stillness itself. And we feel it moving through our body so that the cells of our being become still. And we sit with intention as we put our shoulders back and we lift our head upright, knowing that all the chakras now are aligned with the planet, from the crown chakra to the root chakra. And we are a threshold between heaven and earth. We are consciously breathing. We are awake. We are courting the truth as the truth is courting us, and we are living in the compassionate heart of the one that knows no other. This is the idea that's operating, that's flowing, that's generating a life that we all share. I invite you now to put your hand over your heart, and we'll join in the heart salutation as we speak to this deep presence within us and all around us by saying, I honor you.
I respect you.
I love you.
You are the deepest aspect of myself.
The beloved presence in me bows to the beloved presence in you.
In this vast spaciousness, we are one.
And now allow your attention to go into your face, to open your eyes, the windows of the soul, to look out at the world, to lift your hands up. Know that you're a generating transmitter of peace, love, and joy, and send it all out to the world because it needs it right now. You are the light of the world. So thank you all for sending in your tithes. Be safe. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. More information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org. To create a brand new